Welcome to WP Coffee Talk. Thank you to our sponsor, Helix Managed WordPress Hosting, for both their sponsorship and hosting our site, WPCoffeeTalk.com. Now on to our episode. Welcome to the next edition of WP Coffee Talk. And tonight I am joined by my friend, Kyle Maurer. How are you, Kyle?
I'm great, Michelle. How are you today?
I'm doing great too, thanks. I love that there are people, so many people, so many friends, and they're not acquaintances. They are friends and family in the WordPress community that I was connected to on social media long before I ever met in person. And you are one of those people. So I had been connected to you through Facebook for quite a while and followed you on Twitter, that kind of thing. And then last year at WordCamp Kent, I walked up to you and introduced myself, and you had this blank look on your face for a second because it was like so out of context, right? It's like, wait, who? And I'm like, Michelle Ames, I just wanted to introduce myself. And you did like one of those, oh, wait, I know who you are kind of things. And ever since then, it's like our paths cross a whole lot more, and it's been a fun time kind of working my way through the WordPress community and getting to know people, and I am grateful to count you as a friend. And this year for WordCamp Kent, you were over in, I forgot which country you were.
Hungary, mostly.
Hungary, that's right. You were in Hungary, and you had some great videos on Facebook. I was kind of living vicariously through your climb up some mountain or something. It was awesome.
Right. Yeah. I don't social media very much, but I don't know. Sometimes the mood strikes me. And people were nagging me enough, like, what's going on over there? We're not seeing anything. All right. I'll record.
There it is. I'll show you how hard it was to climb this mountain. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
Thanks, Michelle. First, just it's a real privilege to be on this show, and I'm excited about it. And I think you're doing a cool thing.
Thanks.
Great episode so far. This is such a neat project.
Thank you. Well, I've learned from people like you. You are the first person to ever have me on a podcast, and so I've been on a few this year, and I've taken the cream of the crop stuff and tried to put it in here. So thanks for your guidance.
You give me way too much credit, but this is still really cool, and I'm excited about it. And I thank you for the chance to share whatever it is that I've got. So I do WordPress related stuff just like you do for a WordPress plugin company, just like you. And in the past I've done practically everything that you can do in WordPress. Maybe that in a sense is kind of a bad thing, I guess, like focus up, kind of like get good at something instead of bouncing around all the time. But I've run an agency and did website stuff for building for years, and have had my own products, and have done the talking and the organizing and the traveling and the and distributing of free stuff and contributing to whatever, all these different things, and also producing content of some kind. Not really blogging. I'm a terrible blogger, but I've participated in some podcasts and run some interview shows and all that stuff. So I've been around. If you're looking in the WordPress thing and my name, like, I'll come up all over the place. But right now I work for a company called Sandhills Development as of this coming week as the director of operations, formerly as a marketing lead. So my role is changing right now. You're among the first to hear about this in the public.
Very exciting.
Yeah. So I've been doing marketing for the past couple of years at Sandhills for Easy Digital Downloads, which is one of our products. And now I'm moving into this operations role. So my job is going to be a little bit different, a little bit different. Marketing has been kind of my domain for a long time. Mm-hmm. And this feels like a new adventure into unfamiliar territory. I'm kind of excited about it.
What an opportunity for growth though, right? I mean, that's exciting. It's like the first man who landed on the moon had to like learn things and whatever. And maybe you're not the first person to do this job, but it'll still feel like it to you, right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's something really special about this that I can't say that I've ever experienced in any other job or professional context where it feels right. It feels like I'm going to have the chance to be I don't know. I'm trying to think of something that's not like super cliche and cheesy to say, but like the real me, you know, or like it's such a better match for my personality and like natural strengths, as opposed to like all the things that I've ever done professionally in any capacity. They've been just like learned skills that I've been able to just get good enough to do professionally, and someone would pay me to do it, whatever. But anybody else could. Now I'm kind of feel like I'm for the first time ever getting into a role where this is what I was born to do, like kind of like organize, manage people, help make their lives better, try and raise the happiness of a collective group. All that kind of thing is now my territory. It's fun.
That's exciting. Yeah. And I can totally see you in that role as well, because you are somebody who really likes to cheerlead and bolster other people up and make them feel good and empower them to do their job. So I think that's wonderful. What a great match.
Yeah. Thanks, Michelle. I appreciate the, you know, the vote of confidence and the validation.
Absolutely. Well, before we get too far down the road, because I want to come back to what you do and what you're going to be doing, but I want to see your mug. So show me your mug.
Show me the mug. All right. I've got a lot of mugs that I like. A lot of mugs that I like. But this is my current favorite mug. It is it's covered with all of the mascots of the various Sand Hills Development products. So we have each of these has a name. Mm-hmm. I actually don't remember the name of our Cellbird mascot, but we have Rex and Alf and Ed and I don't remember the name of that mascot either.
They're cute.
Anyway, each of our plug-in products has a mascot. And so they're all grouped together on this mug. And this is a little thing that I had made so we could send it out to all of our people across the world.
Well, if you have an extra one, send it to me and I'll use it on the show.
There you go. That's a great idea, Michelle.
I know, right?
Absolutely.
This isn't just on audio. This is on video too. So
yeah. People can
see them.
If you want one of these mugs, hit me up. And I've got in it, I have a cold brew.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It's pretty delicious. Kind of like a caramel flavored one.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
I was talking to Matt Cromwell on Monday when I did a podcast recording with him. And he was drinking a cold brew. And I was drinking white wine in my give mug.
Wow. Okay.
I said, if you can't drink with one of your bosses during their podcast, when can you, right?
Come on. Yeah, you're right.
And it was he's 3 hours behind me. It was like 7 o'clock at night. I was not going to be drinking coffee at 7 o'clock at night. So
I know. This is pretty late for me to be taking in some caffeine. I didn't really think about putting alcohol in it. That would have been smart.
Wait till you see Adam Silver and what he was drinking. You'll have to wait for his episode to come out. I'm using my WordCamp Montreal 10-year anniversary water bottle from when I spoke at WordCamp Montreal last summer. That was an exciting, and I'm drinking water tonight. So I'm going to be going out later. I might be imbibing on something other than water and coffee. The jury's still out exactly what's going to be in my glass, but I'm celebrating myself today. So,
as you should, Michelle.
It's Friday night. We're
going to get out there and have fun.
Absolutely. I don't get to do that often enough. So, gosh darn it, tonight's the night.
That's right.
Yeah, very cool. So, you've asked me how I got started in WordPress, but I have never heard your story. How did you get started in WordPress? I never have.
Oh, my goodness, Michelle.
Tell me.
All right. Buckle up for a ride. Maybe it's not that interesting. I don't know. And I know you have a lot of great questions. So probably I'll give you the short version.
Okay. That's right? Fine.
I was working at a job at a library in town. And I woke up one day and realized, you know what? This is not enough. I got to do something better. I was pretty young. I had just gotten married. I just bought our first home. And I was working part-time at the library. And you know what? They were not accepting me for any of the full-time positions that I applied for. I was admittedly quite underqualified for them. But I was trying to be ambitious and applying for all like the management roles or for IT or for anything to pursue a career in the world of libraries. And they were like, nah. And I was like, darn, what can I do? I'm still in college, but like that takes forever and guarantees me nothing. So I should like learn something else. Nobody's else biting on my resume, as like who could blame them? There's nothing on it of note. And so I started reading, like, what possibly can I do to make myself more interesting and appealing and kind of accelerate things here? So I found some suggestions online that like, if I learned to do some code stuff, which I'd never taken an interest in before, that's
code stuff.
Yeah. Code related stuff. Like I didn't know the first thing. Maybe I took an HTML class in college, but other than that, I knew nothing. So if I learned to do a little bit of that, like that was in demand and maybe I could, and there weren't like strict requirements about certifications and degrees in order to be employable. And so that was appealing and I started finding some tutorials and I took like kind of by chance, some PHP tutorials and I learned how to make like really basic stuff like a contact form. It was grossly insecure, but functional. And then I threw some little acronyms on my resume and very quickly had a web design internship that was paid and much more exciting in like a matter of weeks. And that job turned into like a full-time position as a technology director for this growing agency. And I did that for about a year before I kind of caught on that is a pretty shady operation and management was kind of like taking advantage of employees and customers. And it's really just a big scam. And so I bailed and I had learned so much in that time. It was really a crash course in everything. I'd been exposed to search engine optimization and taken lessons on that and learned all the latest web design stuff and about graphic design. And I'd gotten pretty good at Photoshop and I had learned about WordPress in the process. I'd set up my first WordPress sites and this was, I don't know, 2011 probably. And so I decided to start my own business. So I partnered up with a buddy and said, we're going to just start doing marketing for people, internet marketing and building websites. And we're like, the last thing I made was with WordPress and that was kind of the easiest. So let's just go all in on that. We bought some crappy themes. We set up some junky websites for hardly any money and put on our ties and did business networking and pretended to be professionals. And a lot of stuff happened, but anyways, ended up running that or an iteration of that business for about 5 or 6 years. And never for any moment considered doing anything but WordPress. At the time, like WordPress was emerging as the leader. Like it was, had bigger market share than any of the others, but it was still much more competitive. But that was like, it was like really in the early on the upswing. And so immediately after that was when it just like started taking off and it became silly to even consider an alternative. Mm-hmm. And not long after I started going to local meetups, local WordCamps and decided like this is really special. I don't know. That's maybe not the most interesting tale and it leaves out all the fun, juicy details, but you have other good questions too. So
there you go. Juicy tales will be in the memoir.
Yeah.
Let's see. So when you look at websites that other people have built, or maybe even websites that you've built in the past, what do you think people skip over that would make them stronger sites? So, you know, like yesterday, somebody was telling me security is something that people don't pay enough attention to. So something like that.
Yeah.
Take your answer.
Oh, there's a lot of things. Oh my goodness. There's so many things that we neglect and overlook and you know, all of us with our particular interests would, you know, advocate for something specific. You know, anybody who's passionate about security or about performance or about marketing or accessibility or all these other things would argue that the majority of us are under appreciating those. Just like we're under appreciating all kinds of things in our own life. Like who among us is getting like enough sleep and eating healthy and exercising regularly and educating themselves and working our brains and getting therapy and whatever else we need for our bodies and our lives. Yeah. We're not getting that. Most of us are not getting all of that. And our websites aren't getting all of those things either. It's no different. But I, if I were to really, I have to choose one that I think is the maybe the biggest problem for a lot of organizations is this lack of a future plan for the website, kind of like looking at the website the wrong way, thinking of it more in terms of something that like you build maybe like a house and once it's done, it's done. But if we think about it, it, you know, a little differently, like, you know, like it's something that's living, that now there are open doors and there are running things that require like hands-on constant vigilance and effort and maintenance. And it's really necessary for us to like think about our websites as living things. A lot of things change, and there are really simple ones to focus on. You know, you can talk about the fact that hackers are always trying to find creative ways to penetrate your website all the time, and they're getting better and better, and eventually they're going to find a way. So vigilance in that sense is important. And there are, you know, there are issues like design trends always change, and you don't want to look unprofessional. But also just the expectations of our audience also changes. And if we're thinking of our website as a living thing that we are like incorporating into our business and taking full responsibility for now and ongoing, we are adapting it to meet the needs of our customers constantly and never falling so far behind and getting out of that cycle that so many are in, where you build it one time, leave it for 3 to 5 years, and then like redo it. Right. And that's a really painful process to go through. It kind of sucks. Because
it's expensive.
It is. It's very expensive, and it's like very inefficient. And what happens is, like, by the time you get around to like redoing it, your old one is like really far behind, and you've lost out. You've missed out on a lot of opportunities. And then you get started on it, and the project takes so long. By the time it's even done, it's like you're lucky if it's even caught up to the current minimum standards. Not just like technical stuff, but like the expectations of users. What are customers coming and like expecting to get from you when they visit your website? Like, are they impressed? Are they underwhelmed? Are you like dazzling them when they come to your site? Are they shocked at how easy working with you is compared to your competitors or anything else that they're buying? Or is it just like another thing that they begrudgingly have to deal with? And if you're like stuck in this cycle of like redoing the whole thing to like match whatever is hot right now in this window of time and then riding on that for years, it's inefficient. It's a disservice to your customers. It misses out on a lot of opportunities to adapt and serve them better as we go. I don't know. Maybe that's a little rambly, but I think we need to just think about websites different than we do.
No, I think that makes a lot of sense, actually. I was on the school board, and my school board for 12 years. And in the first term, the first 3 years I was there, somebody from my church called and said, "I don't understand why in this year's budget we're purchasing buses. Don't we have enough buses?" And I said to her, "Are you still driving the same car you drove 15 years ago?" And she said, "No." Oh, so yes, you have to be constantly not only maintaining your car, but planning for the future car, because a car won't last forever. And what you just said about websites made me think of that exact example, is you have to be maintaining your current website, but also planning for those updates and things that are going to come down in the future.
Yeah, it takes some, I mean, if you reflect a little bit on the past, you can begin to appreciate how there are always so many exciting things, exciting opportunities and advancements that come up, that maybe creative things that your competitors are doing. They've introduced a new way for customers to like, whatever, get their product easier and faster, or track their whatever faster and more efficiently and painlessly. So now they've got an app that does it, and they've got, you know, free concierge this or that, and free shipping for it, and whatever else. These are things that people are advancing and doing. And often we get caught in this mindset where we're just like, let's build, well, we're neglecting this focus on what is inevitably going to come ahead. So if we build it for like 2019 and we rebuild it in 2022, if we're lucky, then there were cool things happening in 2020 and 2021 and in 2022 that we're not really taking advantage of.
Agreed.
So they're like unknown things that are going to happen next year that are really cool. And it's not enough to just like maintain what you have. Mm-hmm. Your users' expectations are changing constantly and evolving, and they're taking in new information and seeing cool new things. And you're missing out on those if all you're thinking about is like maintaining and keeping alive and running the same old site.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I closed my own personal business last year after I was working with Give for a little while. But prior to that, early last year, I had somebody ask me to build a website for them. And I worked with them to put that together. And one of the last things they asked me for was a click counter on the front of their website. So they wanted that. I can't remember what we call them now, but the site counter. Yeah, the site counter on their homepage. And I said, let me do you one better. Let me introduce you to Google Analytics. So, I said, nothing makes your website look older than a site visitor counter at the bottom of it. So,
that's adorable.
Yeah. It was so cute. It really was. Right up there next to the guy who said, I don't want it to be a mobile responsive site. I want it to look like exactly like on the phone, like it does on my computer screen. And I said, I'm sorry, sir. I don't know how to do that. Anyway, he wanted to pinch it in and open, but we talked him down off that ledge.
That's funny. This stuff really is good. Like it's goofy, but I think that it's important for us to stay in touch with that. It's very easy for us to get out of touch with it. I mean, you and I are not that not like our primary focus is not directly on customer support. Like you're not usually like answering technical questions for people, and neither am I any longer. Mm-hmm. And we could be a little bit removed from the experience of our customers. We're in product companies. We're not consulting with clients as much or at all anymore like we used to. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was at a meeting like a few months ago, and somebody had to do a presentation, and they pulled open their PC laptop and opened up Internet Explorer and struggled to click around and couldn't figure out how to do something like a Google search. Mm. And they were really bombarded by like little prompts like your antivirus is out of date and do you want to enable this in your browser and, you know, all these things. And all of them were slowing them down. And it was like the most painful thing to watch. Mm-hmm. And I just was struck by how far removed I am from that. Yeah. Like it's really, really far. Where it wasn't always. I used to be very hands-on with exactly that in every way. I was teaching college classes for people how to do that. And mm-hmm. I was doing tech support and I did all that hands-on. And now like it is not even in my life. Internet Explorer doesn't even cross my radar ever. Ever. I probably haven't said those words in a year. And so I'm like super out of touch with the real people interacting with our software and our products and our websites.
I do get to do that. So I get to do screen shares with our customers sometimes. And it's always the customers for whom technology is a struggle. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever been on a WordPress dashboard, which most of us have who are listening to this probably, you know that if I say to you what the blue button is, you know the blue button, there's only one blue button on any page, and that's either the save or update button, publish, save, update. And so I was talking to a man who is very advanced in his years, even older than me, and I kept saying, just, you know, press the blue button. And he couldn't find the blue button. And I was like, I'm looking at it going, it's right there. But of course, I'm not saying that. And I'm like, and I'm saying things like, well, I can see where your mouse is. Move it to the right. No, that's the left. Move it to the right. You know, and so like I understand the struggle. And so we do what we can to help people out who are not as technically advanced as those of us in the industry, of course. But sometimes you do forget how far behind some of our users and specifically site visitors can be. So yeah, absolutely.
That's true. Yeah. Sorry I'm gonna rant on that.
That's okay. I'm actually going to skip the next question because I think we actually kind of covered it. Unless you got something in particular that you wanted to add to that about what you wish you'd known when you started in WordPress that you have learned since.
You know, honestly, what comes to mind there is the fact that everything is, in the end, easier than I thought it would be.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm. There are so many countless examples of me resisting an opportunity to learn a new thing because I had this preconceived notion that it was beyond my abilities or really hard or big time investment or something, or just like I didn't identify with the kind of person who did that. And so early on, like I was doing very minimal, just copy and paste kind of code work. And I would go to talks and there would be people talking about how they would make a plugin to solve this problem. And I was like, that sounds really hard. It sounds super hard.
Sounds hard to me.
Yeah. And one day, like I did it and I was like, that was it. That's it. That's all there is to it. All this time? Are you kidding me? That was so easy. And it was the same with so many other things. Like I resisted using version control for years. And I thought Git was just like this complicated, confusing thing. And once I finally did it, I was like, that's it. This is easy and it's great. And my life is so much better now. And it was the same with developing locally. I thought like, what's this localhost stuff? Running a website on your computer? Like, what is this wizardry? That sounds so advanced, so beyond me. And when I finally did it again, I was like, that's it. That was really easy. Why did I not do this sooner? There were so many examples of that, Michelle, throughout the years where I kicked myself. Like, why was I not doing this?
Can I share with you my funny GitHub story?
Of course you can.
So I didn't know what it was, GitHub, and I'd heard of it over and again. And this is probably 4 or 5 years back. And so the local, what was it called? It wasn't Women Who Code, but it was one of those kinds of women in technology kind of groups.
Yeah.
And so they offered a class in understanding, you know, version control, GitHub, that kind of thing. And so somewhere on one of my old laptops, I have the OctoCat or whatever sticker from that, right? So I go to this class and like there's 10 of us around this table, and I was 45 and I was one of the youngest people in the room, I swear. But I'm struggling to understand it. And so what they taught us was making this is so funny, making a grocery list. So it was like, so you know, it's like bread, milk, fruit, vegetables, whatever.
Yeah.
And then like changing the list, but you can go back to the original list. And if you fork the list and, you know, all of these kinds of things. And I had not thought about that in so long. And so when I started my job with Impress.org a year and a half ago, I had to, you know, I'm in Git all the time now. I don't do anything in it other than make issues or look at our snippet library, that kind of thing. All of a sudden last week, I was like, huh, I wonder if it's still there. So I go back in my GitHub and I was like, would you look at that? That grocery list is the only thing I've ever created in GitHub. So if anybody's interested, I think you can look me up in there and you can see that grocery list that I made a couple years ago.
That's great. You know, that's an important piece of your work portfolio. You know, when you're trying to further your career, you can just send people to
the
grocery list.
Egg, milk, you know, whatever it was, bread and butter, I don't know, whatever it was.
That's great.
So you and I, it was actually really good because it introduced me to the basics. Do I remember all of those codes and no, of course, commands? Of course not. But it will come back to me if I decide to, you know.
It would. It would. Everybody just looks it up anyway.
There you go.
Who commits all that stuff to memory? That's not a thing.
Exactly. It's this big bulletin board in front of you with all that information. Yeah. I love it. Well, you and I have been to a lot of different camps, word camps, other conferences, meetups, etc. I know this to be true for both of us.
It is known.
We have organized, we have spoken, we have attended, we have been there.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I mean, it's.
Oh, yeah. Like, been there, done that.
You know, I have the t-shirt. I have like 40 t-shirts to prove it.
Yeah. Yeah.
When you think back over all the different activities that you've been involved with WordPress conferences and meetups, et cetera, what are one or two like aha, inspirational, pivotal, whatever moments? Like when did the angels sing for you, Kyle, at one of these events?
Yeah, well, it's tough because, you know, like, I don't know, this, not so great at like replaying all of these.
They all kind of merge together in your head over time, don't they?
They kind of do. WordCamps, so they're like, they follow the same template. And so sometimes they do kind of blend in the old memory banks. And at this point, I think I've attended around 35 or so. In like, I don't know, 6 or 7 years or something. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot. And I think I've presented like 40 times. And it's a bunch. Anyway, there are some things that stand out. I don't know if they're the most memorable, but somehow that's they okay. come back the quickest.
Blame on me.
I remember the first time, like this was very early because I'd only been to a couple WordCamps before this. I went to WordCamp San Francisco, the last one. And that was very intimidating. Like, this is a big deal. Steve and I, my business partner at the time, we flew out to San Francisco. I'd never been to California before. And this was the big WordCamp. And I'm just like starstruck everywhere I look. And there was a guy there who came up to me. And was like, "Are you the guy who made Betterify?" And I was just struck by that because, well, first of all, Betterify is a joke plugin that I made a long time ago. Okay. It's there were a lot of people who found it like mildly amusing or chuckled about it back when I did it a long, long time ago. And I submitted it, and it's on the plugin directory. If you look up Betterify, you'll see like this goofy plugin that like makes your website better, and it has all these kind of jokes and like fake jargon that doesn't mean anything. And a lot of people jumped on it, and just like wrote these rave reviews that are hilarious. Like, one of my favorite things on the internet is reading the Betterify reviews. They're all 5 stars. Like, my website just started, like, my bank account just started overflowing when I turned on Betterify, or my website just became 100 times better, and like all these crazy over the top things, super silly. And so it was crazy to show up there and have like somebody say, "Hey, are you the guy?" especially like very early on. That was in the very beginning. And
that's cool.
It still happens kind of to this day where you never know what people will like associate you with. And I've bounced around and worked different places and participated in different things. And so now, like, even when I went to WordCamp Europe this year, there were a couple occasions where somebody was like, "Hey, you're the guy." And it was something like very random, like a major throwback from years ago, like some show that I was on, or another plugin that I made years ago and shipped that I haven't had anything to do with in years. It was amusing to be recognized for some of those super random things.
Yeah, for sure.
WordCamp Europe definitely was a highlight because this was my first international WordCamp. And it was an opportunity to like meet face to face a lot of people that I knew of or that it also knew me. We've never like met IRL, and some of them were far more excited than I expected to get to meet. A little bit me, like maybe they have had interactions with me, or maybe they knew me personally through the internet, or a little bit like also they're a fan of the company and the brands that I represent. So just meeting somebody from the team, like behind the software that powers their business, is kind of exciting to some of them. A lot of people really appreciate the Sand Hills brand, so they have some popularity. So some of them are very excited, and so walking through like the biggest WordCamp in the world and having some people stop and say like, oh my goodness, like I got to take a selfie with you.
that's awesome.
What's this like, this is really cool. And a couple people like gave me gifts, like random, like really thoughtful things that they brought and gave to me, which like totally it blew me away and I didn't even know how to cope with. But that sort of thing, I don't know. It's really unpredictable and very moving. And I still like really don't even know how to wrestle with it.
That's pretty awesome actually though. I want to talk a little bit about an experience that I had with you that I still laugh a lot about.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. you and Brian Hogg do a supporting... I'm going to bring it up. You should have known I would. You're going to bring
this up. Of course you are.
Of course I am. Mm-hmm. So you and Brian Hogg, you have a kind of, it's kind of a podcast webinar. I don't, what do you call it? You call it a webinar?
I don't know. It's a show, I guess.
It's a show. You have a show. And it's about supporting WordPress plugins, I believe. I'm putting words in your mouth. Did I say it close enough anyway?
Sure.
Yep. Okay. Love it. And I... occasionally when I'm free, I will watch your show and put in my own little questions, et cetera. But this was the first time. This is the first time Brian Hogg had sent me the invite, probably on one of his mailing lists. Cause you know, I get on everybody's mailing list on purpose to see what people are doing. And so I'm watching it and you guys are talking about how to support the plugins and how you talk to, you know, customers and this kind of thing. And so I write in my little, you know, type in my little question is, what do you think about calling all of the new customers that purchase your plugin? Now, Brian knew what I was doing in my full-time job. You and I had not yet met face-to-face. And so there was a little bit of a disconnect of remembering who I was or knowing that we were connected anywhere else or what I was doing as a job. And so you get to that question. And all of a sudden, and I remember, I mean, if we go back and play the tape, I think I've got you pinned on this one. You're like, that's a terrible idea.
Oh, no. What?
No. Pretty sure. But, and of course, by that point, I'm actually had to bow out of what you guys were doing because I was making calls to my new customers for our plugin at Give, and we're actually having quite a bit of success with that. And since then, you have done a mea culpa with me, and you're like, you know, maybe you're not doing all that bad over there because we're doing some pretty good things. But that was a lot of fun. But so I had to kind of bring it up. I know you're kind of giving me the evil eye. If people are only listening, not watching, Kyle is not smiling his normal smiley self right now. He's, yeah, I better watch my back at WordCamp US this year. But talk a little bit about you and Adam Silver have a podcast that you do. You have your own podcast that you do. You and Brian Hogg have a show that you do. Those are the three that I know of. Are those the only three or are there more? Tell us a little bit about why you're doing all those different things you're doing.
A little bit. Well, let's see. I think there's a lot of people in our industry who do a great job of sharing the stuff that, you know, the stuff they have up here in their head in some format. And a lot of them are really good at like blogging, you know, using that whole WordPress thing to share their knowledge, publishing information freely with the world. It's a wonderful, beautiful thing. We've all benefited so much from it. I'm not great at blogging, but I have this affinity for the microphone, like a love affair with the microphone, and I can't seem to get enough time in front of it. That's not to say that I'm really good at like mouth blogging or anything else that I do in front of this thing.
Is that a term, a real term, mouth blogging, or did you just come up with that?
It's a thing people say.
Okay.
Yeah. And anyway, I just, this is a format which is great for me. I love it. I get a lot out of it, and I look forward to doing the next one. So this has been how I have chosen to share whatever it is that's in my head. Mm-hmm. It isn't always right, as you've so well explained and demonstrated. Not everything that I say is correct. It's just whatever I know at the time that I'm talking.
Well, you were saying industry standards. So we actually were breaking the mold. So you were saying what everybody was saying at that point in time. So
that's to be fair. We don't need to defend the dumb things that I've said in the past. That's that's okay. anyway, so I've always really enjoyed this format. And the overwhelming majority of the content that I have shared with this world has been in an audio format. Musically or podcastly or webinarly or whatever else there is. So my first experience with it was doing a show called the WP Roundtable, which was started by myself and a guy named Jason Crawford in Medellin, Colombia, about, I don't know, 5.5 years ago, maybe. We started doing a discussion show, roundtable on topics, and then sort of kind of turned into an interview show, and then it sort of kind of turned into just my show. I had a revolving door of co-hosts for some years, and then eventually it was just me. And so I've been doing that ever since. Though, admittedly, like at this time, I'm kind of discerning what to do with it or about it. I don't know. We'll see. I still enjoy it, but life changes, and I just wonder what to do with it. A couple years ago, I started doing an advice show with Adam Silver. You've mentioned a couple of times. He's a friend of mine, and we've collaborated on a few things. I don't know, like when we're together, we, I guess, get a little bit silly. And so we've done kind of like a little bit outside of the box, joking WordCamp presentations that are kind of like silly and performative. Stuff to break the mold, keep us from getting bored. And at some point we thought it would be this great idea to do like an advice show where we give like really sarcastic advice to people's serious WordPress questions. And also like write little parody jingles and silly songs about WordPress and our life with it. And so we've been doing that show for a couple of years. We just had our 100th episode like last week, maybe, or the week before. I don't know.
And tell us what that one's called.
That one's called Get Options. And that's more of a true podcast. We don't have any video component to it. It is the closest thing to like a real, whatever I would call like a real podcast, where we have like audio bumpers and different segments in the show and like a structured format and listener questions. And I don't know, all the stuff that I equate with like a serious podcast, and they were anything but serious on the show. And we've had like a modest but very loyal following for that show. There's a number of people who've just like really been very supportive, like appreciating it. And they're basically the reason that we keep doing it. Cause they get a kick out of like the goofy songs that we write and the joke answers that we give to serious questions and so on. So we try and have fun. There's a lot of good WordPress shows out there, honestly. There really are. And ours is the one where we just like are not serious at all. And then I guess you mentioned the thing that I've done with Brian Hogg. That is kind of like essentially like a webinar that we would do, and we would cut the audio and syndicate that for people to listen later if they prefer that format. But I don't know.
I'm forgetting what that one's called.
Selling plugins?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yep. There might have been other things that I'm forgetting that I've been on. I don't know. There's been a lot of great shows in the past in WordPress, but most of them have like a not a very long life. There's really only a handful that I can think of that have lasted for years and years. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. This, I mean, WP Coffee Talk is going to be the next one that lasts for a long, long time. Yeah, it's special. So,
yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the people I've been able to talk to. I've recorded so many episodes that aren't even out yet that I'm like sitting on so I can get them. I can't put out 400 episodes in 1 week.
Wow.
I mean 40. I'm at 40.
Wow.
Yeah, 400 would be really something. No, yeah, you know, you can't put out 20 episodes a week and try to catch up. So, but you also can't say to somebody, it's been great recording with you today. Your episode's going to be out in February.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to, you know, push the schedule forward a little bit now. And if things die down a little bit, we'll just go back to a once a week format. And I'm just kind of seeing where it goes right now. This was an experiment for me to learn how to do it. And who knew it would have a little bit of legs. So it's kind of exciting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, super cool. I'm so excited about it and happy to see you doing this.
Thanks. It's exciting for me for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm going to move into the rapid fire questions so that it'll keep you all night. Cause I heard your little girl in the hallway a little while ago and I know she was yelling daddy and she really wants you. And I love that. My little girl is 27. She just got engaged. It happens so much faster than you think. I know. I get to be the mother of the bride. I'm very excited.
How exciting. That is great.
And you know what? Her fiance came to me the Friday before. He said he wanted to have coffee with me. And he said, I would love your blessing to ask Lydia for her hand in marriage.
Oh, geez.
And I said, I've been waiting for this for the last 7 years. What took you so long? No, I didn't say that. I cried because if you know me, I cry a really easy over that stuff. But anyway, I want you to be able to go have dinner with your daughter. But let's move into those rapid fire questions. I ask them rapidly. You take as much time as you need to answer them. How's that sound?
Cool.
Awesome. So what are two or three must-have plugins that you would recommend to somebody maybe building their first website?
Building their first website. Okay.
Early in their career.
Early in their career? Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would recommend some troubleshooting plugins are always helpful. User switching is pretty good.
I
have on almost every website. John Blackburn's plugin. He also wrote Query Monitor, which might be advanced for a first timer, but is one of those that I'm frequently employing on the rare occasions when I manage or build a website now, but it's like a super sweet set of tools. So user switching and Query Monitor are pretty go-to, although it might be overwhelming to grab Query Monitor for a first-time user. I don't know. I think like a backup plugin would be really smart in most cases, but I don't have a favorite. I think there aren't that many types of plugins that I would use on any generic website. Almost every website that I have ever worked on has a form plugin though. So that's one example of a plugin. Like I would put my money on you needing a form plugin.
True.
There are a lot of good ones these days, fortunately. In fact, we did a WordPress meetup once not that long ago where we'd like demoed all of the popular ones live and it was really good. It was a great experience. Everybody had so much discussion and stuff to say about their preferences after that.
We had one of those, we called it the Battle of the Forms.
Yeah. It's really fun.
Yeah.
It's cool. And they all have their own unique approach. And so I really like to support some of the smaller ones with the smaller teams who are doing kind of creative out of the box things and good people behind them, like Caldera Forms. Like they're great and have a really unique approach. And also like, extremely flexible, like flexibility to the max. But Ninja Forms and Gravity Forms are like solid products, very intuitive, easy to use, well supported, integrations galore. You dream it, you can do it with those. So those are up there. But then like WP Forms is like so good for the beginner user and the basic form use cases. That's fantastic. And Formidable has been around for a super long time. That's also a really good product with cool people behind it. You can't go wrong with any of those. I don't know that I have a favorite that much anymore. I've probably used Gravity Forms the most. I don't know. I named a lot of plugins. That's not two or three.
That's good.
Whatever. Terrible answer.
It's all good.
Terrible answer.
I'll tell you, I saw I've seen it a couple times. Christopher Ross. Chris Ross does a talk where he talks about how to build a membership site in 30 minutes. Mm. And it used to be for $30. But inflation, I think it's up to maybe $40, $45 now. But it's using easy digital downloads with Restrict Content Pro. Does that sound right? Restricting content. Yeah. And so using that and using them combined together. And so I've actually used those two together to build a membership site very quickly. Wow. And for very little money before. So there you go. I'm going to give a shout out to you guys too then.
Oh, that's so nice, Michelle.
Yeah, very cool. When you, at any point in your WordPress journey, have you had a mentor, whether it's been an official kind of mentorship or just somebody that kind of took you under their wing or somebody that you know that you can go to for answers? Who was it?
Yeah, a couple people have definitely been instrumental. The first was Peter Shackelford, who was a wonderful person here in my hometown, who started the first meetup here. And I came in and was, it would be like every meetup would be the same thing, just about a different topic, where I would come in, I would be like, I just don't know how to do this. Like, how is this possible with WordPress? And he would be like, custom post types. That's your thing. And I'd be like, what are those? And I'd come in the next time and he'd be like, multi-site. That's what you need. And I'm like, what's that? And like all these other things, that's what it was every time. So he'd been using WordPress much longer and he was like, so helpful. And since then, he's taught me so many things. Like, he taught me how to like homebrew beer and all kinds of other fun personal things. We're good friends now, and I help help run the events. And John James Jacoby has been a great mentor to me as well. Triple J is like just a very wise man, mm-hmm. and has been really great at giving me an open ear all the time. Anytime that I've like ever needed to vent or was perplexed by anything for years, long before we worked together, because now we actually are colleagues by coincidence. He's always been this great person for giving me pep talks.
His name has come up before in this segment, so yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He must be a good guy. I haven't met him yet, but someday.
Yeah. They've both been pretty good. Awesome. I don't know who else in terms of like mentorship.
Mm-hmm. Well, tell us somebody that you admire in the WordPress community and why. And I know that when you've been around the WordPress community for as long as you and I have, it's hard to pick just one. I'm going to make you pick one or two.
One or two or five.
Well, if you can do it quickly.
Okay.
Go for it. Let's hear him.
I have a lot of admiration for Joe Howard, the founder of WP Buffs. I think he's an upstanding guy, doing really cool stuff. I admire how he runs his business and his attitude. I have a similar admiration for Christy Chirinos. Mm-hmm. I think she is brilliant, so talented, does everything the right way, and just I admire everything that she does and every take that she has on everything, on every topic. Mm-hmm. Have a lot of admiration for like some of people that I would consider like the unsung heroes in WordPress. And there are a lot of them, a lot of the people who like contribute, I don't know, translations and stuff, or contribute to like some of the less glamorous aspects of the WordPress project. Mm-hmm. Like there's a guy named Michael who for years has been like moderating all of the videos on WordPress.tv practically. Like he's the coolest old guy who lives down in Atlanta maybe. And like no one knows who he is. And he's just like volunteered so much of his personal time to make this great WordPress resource. Getting like nothing visible out of it other than just like being helpful and contributing. There are a lot of those kinds of unsung heroes that I admire a lot.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great way to put it too. And we should get him on the show because we should maybe sing his praises even a little bit more.
That would be really cool.
That would be cool. To hook me up later.
Yeah.
Some more information about him. What's one of the biggest, I skipped a question. What's something you would like to learn in WordPress that you haven't tackled yet?
I would like to learn?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my job is changing. Mm-hmm. And there are a few things that I know are on my radar that I don't have a lot of experience in. A handful mm-hmm. of things that I'm about to learn a lot about. Like I'm about to learn all about everything related to HR, like payroll and insurance and benefits and all those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And I'm excited to learn them. Not very WordPress specific, but I am also excited to learn about like the next phase of our team retreats, which are a big part of my job. We're mm-hmm. getting close to the point where the company is too big for any of the types of places we've ever used before. Mm-hmm. And I've been learning a little bit from bigger organizations who maybe like just run like massive team retreats. You know, we're talking like mm-hmm. hundreds of people and renting out entire hotels instead mm-hmm. of like a little Airbnb like we've done. And mm-hmm. there's so much that goes into that. International travel is something that I'm learning a lot more about. We've got international employees who need visas to travel to our work trips. Mm-hmm. And this is all new to me, but I'm excited to learn more about how it works and what I can do to provide the best experience for our international employees. Mm-hmm.
That's great. So you're looking forward to learning agency things that are required for a WordPress agency.
Yeah, sure.
That's pretty mm-hmm. cool. I like it. What's one of the biggest WordPress mistakes you've ever made and what did you learn from it?
There were, as unsurprisingly, like probably saying on the Selling Plugins webinar that calling customers is a bad idea.
What did you learn from it?
Yeah. trust Michelle. Always. Michelle's always right.
I wish that was true.
There are little things that come to mind. Mm-hmm. I've learned hard lessons about giving a WordCamp talk without adequate preparation. Like, embarrassing. I'm ashamed. Less than like 50% of the talks that I actually give get recorded and then published online. Like it's a frustratingly small number of them. It sucks when the ones that didn't go so well are the ones that get published. And so I got like some early ones. They're like big audience. And I remember getting started and just realizing, wow, I am not as prepared as I should be for this. This is not going well. And those were hard lessons. Now I do a lot of preparation for my talks. Like mm-hmm. there aren't that many people I know who work harder on their talks than I do. I don't know if it shows, but I do try hard.
Absolutely. It's like Murphy's Law of WordPress.tv though. If you have a talk that you didn't do so well, that you can't, the audio didn't work quite well, or it's too dark to actually see your face, those are the ones that are going to be at the top of the list.
Every time. I've got like probably three that I can think of that were my favorites, the best, where I felt like I nailed it and the audience liked it. And I got a lot of comments and people were like, mm-hmm. you should have been there. And nobody's ever going to see those videos. Like that didn't happen. Forget about it. I think if I could, probably one of the most memorable like agency mm-hmm. accidents was taking down accidentally a company's email for almost 48 hours. And after that, like we swore we would never have anything to do with email again. Because any customer would, if their website goes down, it varies, but most customers are like, hey, like when's the website going back up? Come on. Mm-hmm. Like this is unacceptable. What am I paying you for? I'm going to stop paying, like fix the website. This is not okay. But if you take down their email, they're like at your door, threatening to burn your house down. Mm-hmm. Like, that is not acceptable for 1 second. And so I did have customers like swearing at me on the phone, traumatic experiences, and ultimately said, no, this is the last time we're ever going to go through this. Anyway,
there are email solution providers and we should be using them instead of setting up email for our customers.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let's look at the flip side of that and tell me, what's your proudest WordPress moment?
Shoot. I actually don't know. Proudest? I was really proud of myself when I released some plugins that I had made. That was a big breakthrough for me. I wouldn't say necessarily this was the proudest, but I would say like that it was really important that I thought there was something that I couldn't do. I thought this was like beyond my abilities, or like I'm not that guy who could do that. And then I made things that were not just like basic, simple, bare minimum things, but like truly useful plugins that people use, and like thousands of people downloaded them to use on their websites. And that was pretty powerful. That was a proud experience. I was really proud of what we did when we organized like one of the WordCamp Ann Arbors that we had. We had a couple of them. They've always been really good, but there was a year that it was like super good, and everyone had such an amazing experience, and it all went together so smoothly, and I was really proud of that.
That's very exciting.
Yeah. I don't know. Those are some examples.
Now, you've given some keynotes also, haven't you?
I've given one keynote presentation. Yeah. And so have you at the same camp.
I was going to say, I think it was a year apart at the same camp, wasn't it?
That's right. Oh, yes.
That was exciting. I missed yours. You missed mine because I was not there day one. I could only be there day two. I was doing a wedding day one, and you were overseas this year. So I'm waiting for mine to come out on WordPress TV because I'm excited about it, but I'm going to have to go back and look at yours.
It never ended up on WordPress.TV.
Well, that's really sad then. Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe. I don't know. I worked hard on that, like even more than usual. But a keynote is intimidating, as you know. Those are challenging presentations to put together.
Yeah, but they're exciting too.
They are. They are. I love it. It's such an exhilarating rush.
And you're done first thing in the morning. And then it's like, you can coast from then on.
That's true.
For sure. If you weren't working in web and web technology, what other career might you like to attempt?
There are a few passions that I have. That I like. I'm really into music, so the whole music thing, like that, could be kind of cool. But I personally don't really realistically see myself ever pursuing some kind of a hobby like that professionally. Like I don't really like entangling money and work with my pastimes. Mm-hmm. So I could get a lot out of doing it more. But I don't think I would like to do it professionally. The whole craft beer scene is really cool. In fact, Sandhills Development owns a brewery that was opened up last year in Kansas. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten to like kind of experience what that is like to create a brewery. And the craft beer scene is really magical here in America right now. It's special. And I love seeing what is happening in my own hometown. Being a part of that would be really cool. I could see that happening in the future. I also think that I'm very passionate about remote work and doing more to support and encourage companies being, you know, operating in a distributed manner. Like I could see myself running like a co-working space or something maybe akin to that, which served distributed employees or like brought remote workers together, or raised their quality of life, or increased the legitimacy of remote workers. Because I think it's just remote work is a key element in, I think, the future of our economy, and could potentially be the solution to a lot of big problems that we have. Mm-hmm. Just think about like all the congestion and pollution and health issues and sleep deprivation and work-life balance issues, like all these things that we have. Like what if we could solve a lot of them by making fewer people have to commute to an office?
Yeah.
You know?
I like it. That's good.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
You're awesome. Now.
You're awesome too.
Thanks.
What's something on your bucket list?
I would really like to visit all 50 states. I'm halfway mm-hmm. there. So that's pretty easy and attainable. Maybe mm-hmm. every continent would be another one.
That's cool. Yes.
So, you know, travel related stuff. That's mm-hmm. probably not very creative. I should have something more creative. Maybe someday I'll jump out of a plane or something like that. I don't know. I really don't.
Tomorrow I am being interviewed on my own show for my own show.
Whoa.
By Chrissy Pollack. I don't know if you know Chrissy. She works for Automatic. She's a automatician and happiness engineer.
Cool.
And she's going to turn the tables on me. So I'm holding some of my answers close to the vest, but I will tell you my answer to this question is I want to do a TED Talk.
Whoa, that's a great one. Oh, I want to do that too. That is such a good one.
You can have my answer. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. I'm stealing your answer. TED Talk.
Go for it. Yeah. All right, yeah. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
Yeah.
Definitely would be preparing for that one. And my favorite TED Talk is, I'm going to forget his name now, Remy, I forgot his last name, but he does a talk on 404 pages that actually changed the way that I do web design.
Really?
Yeah. I'm going to send you the link later. It's a really good one.
Thank you.
And it's 4 minutes and 4 seconds long. Good. That's what you call good planning. Now, show us or tell us about a hidden talent that you have that the WordPress community might not know about you.
What?
I know, right?
You're putting me on the spot. Wow. Show you or tell you? Let's see. I have mentioned music-related stuff before. I don't know if I can just like bring that up again.
We pretty much know about that about you. I think everybody, I mean, you've done it. You've written songs. You've put them on your, so I want to hear something different.
Oh.
Talk about this, putting you on the spot though, I know.
Yeah, I have one best actor before at the 2010 Mauer Movie Awards. And I also won best director 4 years in a row.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. How many people were in the running?
For those individual awards, mm-hmm. probably half a dozen or so.
Oh, that's great then.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, right.
I like that. You're going to have to talk about that more sometime. We're running out of time tonight though, so we're going to leave that for another time.
Yeah.
The last question I have for you is tell us how we find you on Twitter and online. In general.
Sure. Thanks, Michelle. Kyleblog.net is a bit of a goofy landing page of mine where you can see very, very old blog posts that are probably irrelevant now, but also a list of links to everything that relates to me online. I'm Mr. Kyle Mauer on Twitter, and I'm in most Slack teams. Search for my name.
Sounds great. I appreciate having you on, meeting you on this time slot on this evening. It's Friday evening, and I know that your family is waiting for you for dinner, I'm sure. And I'm going to go out to dinner and, have a good evening myself. But thank you so much for being with me and being on WP Coffee Talk. And I look forward to seeing you on Slack. And I hope you're going to be at WordCamp US because I look forward to seeing you there.
Planning on it, Michelle. Thanks a lot.
Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye.